This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 639 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my Talk Franklin conversation with Town Administrator Jamie Helen and Marketing Communications Specialist Lily Rivera. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about the recap of the Finance Committee meeting, the HR presentation by Karen Bratt, two proposals for a veterans tax rebate increase and for a senior work-off program increase. Both of those are going to be pending approval by the town council at their upcoming meeting. FinCom also heard the ARPA accounting, American Recovery Plan Act accounting. That will be coming to the town council agenda, as well as the new precinct plan per the 2020 census data. And we also had breaking news revealed in the podcast for the first time of the Maple Hill purchase being finalized with the last documents signed by Jamie. Links to the key topics covered here are included in the show notes. The recording runs about 23 minutes. So let's listen to my conversation with Jamie and Lily as we talk Franklin. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. Anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and on the local Franklin, Mass. Area .FM dial at 102.9. Here for another Talk Franklin session with our town administrator, Jamie Helen. Jamie, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Steve. It feels great because I feel like we're back in a rhythm having these podcasts.
Yeah, both a rhythm and it still feels like summer. So it's like, what happens?
I had a polo shirt on yesterday and I said, you know, it may be fall technically, but I'm still thinking summer as long as I can.
Yes. Yeah, I was comfortable walking over to the municipal building for the candidate forum last Thursday night and walked back still in a t-shirt. And it's like, wait a minute, this is October?
I know. And the American League Championship Series starts tonight and it just feels strange, but I'll take it. I'll absolutely take it.
Absolutely. And also for the record, we do have Lily Rivera. Lily, happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you, Steve. Note on the weather, I came in the other day wearing like a little bit of a jacket and some long coats. And today I'm wearing a dress. So just try to make the most of it.
Indeed. Indeed. We'll enjoy it while it lasts.
Exactly.
Because we know New England, you know, it won't last forever.
Exactly.
It will not last forever.
And in terms of kind of the recap, I think the FinCom meeting this week gives a couple of points, and then it also teases us naturally for a town council coming up. One key item there, the human resources overview provided by Karen Bratt, I think was a wonderful, newsworthy, as well as detail full presentation.
As many out there know, the chairman of the finance committee, Bill Dowd, has coined his own term of department deep dives. And, you know, obviously this one was more than a deep dive. It was a subterranean one. It was an amazing job by Karen, our human resources director, who oftentimes is way behind the scenes and isn't one of those budgets that jumps off the map, you know, and doesn't have a lot of personnel in the office. But you know, I didn't get a chance to say it the other night, but she is absolutely by far the best I've ever worked with in my 22-year career. And when you talk to Chief McLaughlin and Chief Lynch, DC Mill and Brutus and Mike D'Angelo, our department heads, you know, she has just been an incredible asset that the town was able to hire 4 years ago. And she's really revolutionized in so many ways human resources in our office. And it was great to see a presentation kind of showcasing her work a little bit. You know, I think what we're going to do, Steve, is, you know, we do departmental presentations. A lot of the counselors love to see the DPW, recreation, seniors, police, fire. But, you know, we've tried over the years to get a lot of the other smaller departments to do presentations. And I think this is one that maybe always has escaped us. And, you know, we worked on this a little together for a few weeks and a couple months, and I was just happy to see her describe, you know, what their office does. And maybe more notably, to your reference in the intro, was really the benefits budget, you know, over $13 million. It's 10%, 11% of the town budget, pensions, healthcare, Medicare, GIC, retired teachers, workers' comp, unemployment insurance, liability insurance, PNC. I hope I haven't put our listeners to sleep, but you know, it's all that stuff that's in the benefits budget. She did a great overview of what was going on. I hope that in the next several months, we may be able to do that presentation at the council level and have a great discussion about what HR does as well. So, you know, it was a great job by her. And if folks want to go back, the slides are now up on the HR website, the town website. Steve, I'm sure you're going to grab them as well and throw them out to your listeners and viewers. But a great job by her. And, you know, she really is one of the best I've ever met and ever worked with. One of the things I was telling one of the counselors that was watching later, I said, you know, what doesn't get told in that presentation is, you know, when you have people retire, they're very nervous. You know, their paycheck gets cut off. It's not the same amount of money as what they had. You know, and Karen has shown such an incredible amount of compassion and diligence. And to work with everybody who retires, everybody who's looking at health benefits, and really tries to understand their world, which is what it's all about, and gives them the time and the work and the blood and the sweat to make sure that when people are retiring, or when they're leaving, or when they're coming, that they know what her recommendation is that's the best move for them. And I'll give you one quick example. Patty Wiley was in the treasurer's office last year. Just retired this past summer after 33 years with the town. And she was going to retire a year before. And Karen had crunched the pension calculations and basically said, if you stay another year, this is what you'll end up getting. And Patty walks out the door really happy, right? And she's got more money in her pocket. You know, for somebody who didn't make a big wage through her life, you know, that's a really big deal. And that's the kind of philosophy that Karen has. And, you know, she's really changed the whole organization in so many ways. So I was really glad to see them and thankful that they asked for that presentation, that she was able to get some publicity.
Yeah, it touches on so many points. Clearly, a number of the budget items, it gives you some of that background detail, which is always important to cover. And it's hard to do because to your points, some of it may be sleep inducing, but oh, by the way, now tie it to the budget. And this is why you can't cut here, you can't cut there, because oh, by the way, some things are in our control. And she outlaid what was being done and how it was being done, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
The other point, yeah, too, is Chloe, you've touted in this many times, you know, your group, the town itself is a service organization. And while respectfully, in many cases, the first resident point of view is with the town clerk, in many cases, the first employee point of view or potential point of view is with HR. And by getting the right people on the bus, that helps the entire town service people properly. So, yeah, it's a very critical behind the scenes one. Busy. Holy cow.
I can remember the interviews. I can remember the interviews and the candidates. And actually, I shouldn't share this, but I will. But she actually, at one point in the second round, and called up and said that, you know, that she wasn't sure she was going to be able to do it due to life and finances and some other things. And I begged her to come in for the last interview. And I just knew deep down inside that she was going to be a change maker in the town. And the relationships that she's built, to your point, you know, especially in the public safety realm and with our bargaining units, you know, when you have your union brass, pretty much unanimously, giving her accolades, man, that's really hard to do. Yeah. I mean, that is really, really hard to do. There's always one that goes off the grid. They all admire her and thank her, because she thinks about them. And that's what this business is all about. It's about your audience and about the public and about the employees and about them. It's not about me or us.
No.
And nobody exhibits that better than Karen. She always puts her feet in other people's shoes. And that's something that's so, I look for that in every single hire we do. We ask people in interview questions. Are you a team player? Do you work well with others? Do you have a sense of humor? Can you laugh at things? How do you learn? you know, questions and things that I think root out candidates that then come here. And I think that's why the culture is so positive. I think that's why during this pandemic, we didn't struggle and the superintendent didn't struggle as much finding qualified people to fill in some extraordinarily hard places to fill, because people want to work in Franklin. And I think a lot of the reason why people want to work in Franklin is because of the employees and the culture and the equipment and the gear we get people. And to your point, Steve, it's a great one. It really all starts with her from an employee standpoint. She's the point of contact when they first come in the door. And she just, it was great to see a great thorough presentation from her. And I hope others will enjoy it.
Yeah, and I'll share it out. And to your point, I will have the presentation linked in with that audio segment as we go forward. I think this will be a topic we'll come back to, because it was also revealed she does still things paper-based. And in this day and age, when you're moving everything to the web, something that at some point in time we'll find the budget for it, and we need to, whether it's granted or otherwise. Doing paper-based HR stuff, we need to get away from that.
So I will say this about that. That was a funny moment. Karen and I have had a strategic plan for human resources. And, I said on one of the slides, and it kind of got glossed over, but there are going to need to be some future investments in HR. And that's for the school and town, all likelihood, across the board.
Sure.
But that being said, I mean, if I could have gotten this done the day she started, we would have done it. But there were collective bargaining. There's been some other projects where we've tried to help employees change up our life insurance offerings and some of the other benefit offerings. We've done the benefit fairs, because really the start was really cleaning up a lot of the benefit stuff that had been left behind for many years. And that was just our strategic dental insurance. That was our strategic move. I have no doubt now that, not just because George and the finance committee are supportive, although we are very appreciative of that, she's had a hard time finding research to get that information down. Just over the summer, she was able to get a better idea of what the costs are going to be, what the programs are going to be. And like we normally do in Franklin, when we do something like this, we're going to also make sure we bring the schools into the conversation. They're still dealing with paper too. This would be another great project to work on between the two organizations, to be able to merge together in another one of those services that's become all too accustomed to Franklin, where we just always work together.
And more to come on that for sure as that happens, because that's on the radar now. And I think people are aware of the story, and thereby they'll buy into it fairly quickly. Yeah. The other two key items, veterans and senior proposal for increased benefits coming, and then your ARPA accounting. Both of those are also on the town council agenda, I believe, for next week.
It is. So we're really excited. I mean, we do these every once in a while, but, due to a lot of advocacy that a lot of veterans and we're doing with a lot of the counselors, and I give the counselors a lot of credit. They really wanted to try to do something like this. So it's taken us a little while to crunch the numbers and just make sure we're financially sound, of course. But the proposal this week will be a couple things. This is October 20th, by the way, for the listener out there, that Wednesday night, the council meeting. We're gonna try to increase various veterans and disabled veterans property tax exemptions up from $400 to $800 a year, and also $1,000 to $2,000 for disabled. And, obviously it's the least we can do. We're pretty much doing the maximum amounts, and we're doing commensurate with what a few other towns have had. I think this vote, if affirmed by the council, will, put us in the top tier of towns that are offering these benefits, but not to be outdone by just the veterans. We are also increasing the minimum wage rate for our senior work-off program, which is, as you know, very popular. But as you saw on the HR slide the other night, just to bring it back to that, Karen and I have been working for years now to get every single employee, no matter whether they work an hour or they're full-time at minimum wage, we've got to pay them minimum wage. Most people, as you know, Steve, it came up the other night, most people don't know cities and towns are exempt from paying the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Until I got here. And I just, every year we find people that are under and under, and we've now got to the point where when this vote gets taken, we're now going to have all of our employees at $14.25 an hour, which as of January 1st, I should say. So, so that's really great news. And that's coming up this Wednesday.
Having not seen the preview, certainly those are a couple of items. You might have something else that's coming up on the council agenda.
Yeah, we went through this at the FinCom too. I mean, we went through the American Rescue Act plan, the federal stimulus, all the federal money. I did a short overview of what's happened in the last year and a half. And of course, we have a website with all the documentation on the CARES Act and FEMA. But we're getting infused in Franklin with another 10 million more of federal stimulus dollars. The difficult part on this one is it's limited in qualifying expenditures pretty heavily.
And over time.
And it's also stretches over three years. So we're going to try to take the slow and steady approach. I think a lot of towns are going to try to get out the door quick. And I think there's going to be a lot of log jams with contractors to do some of the work. But ultimately, most of the money will likely be spent towards town infrastructure, water and sewer mains, as well as stormwater. So, I mean, all of this is designed to do two things. One, try to upgrade our infrastructure with people that really obviously in town are love infrastructure investments. It's something that benefits the community entirely, right?
Yes.
And it offsets the ratepayers' impact because they don't have to fund these projects through water rates or sewer rates or stormwater rates. So ultimately,
capital budget or operating budget items. Yep.
Excellent. Absolute. Excellent point. And so it relieves the town and hopefully will stabilize those rates, but yet continue the programs that have been very popular and very successful to the town managing its financial picture.
Which is really the key.
Which is really the key. So I think that that's going to be a majority of the money. The presentation is not up online yet. I had to make a couple tweaks. But we're going to get it fresh to the council on the 20th. So if folks are out there and listeners want to know what we're doing with our federal stimulus money for the town or the schools, come on and join in and we'll give an overview of that.
Indeed. Sounds like things are happening, which is no surprise. There's enough happening on multiple fronts.
And I should mention, I mean, the federal stimulus money is actually a small potato item on the agenda coming up. I should mention that the acting town clerk, Nancy Dinello, and our GIS coordinator, Kate Schoberg, is going to do a very deep dive into the deep abyss, into the recent federal census data.
Oh, the precinct that was restructuring.
Released, and the precinct restructuring, as well as the state legislative map overview. Yep. And we hope that the legislative reprecincting map will also be on the agenda for the council to consider. As many people out there may know, the state legislature just kind of flipped the process a little because of the pandemic.
Yep.
Got the census numbers out 7 months late because last year they were collecting it and everybody had to change their life in 2020. So it's 6 or 7 months late. This isn't me making a critique or criticizing the federal U.S. Census.
This is what it is.
It is what it is. And it's like trying to buy 2x4s these days. It's hard to do. And so Nancy and Kate are going to come and give a huge overview of all that on Wednesday. And I really hope many of the listeners out there tune in for that. It'll be very educational and interesting in terms of where the town demographics has gone. I think people will at least enjoy where the population growth. And I'm going to end a little bit on this, Steve. I know we got one more great announcement to make, but I think the demographics in particular, I think the one shocker that's going to come out is the amount of people in Franklin isn't quite as high as what people thought. The number is going to be about 33,261. And we typically reference, Steve, 34, 35. Oh, we must be up to 36 by now. Not true. And what you're also going to find in the data, just as a teaser, is the town's population under the age of 18 has plummeted an exorbitant amount that I think is it warrants shock factor. And so when you see the dynamics in the town over the last 10 years, I hope people really tune in for this. It's pretty cool. It's very illustrative of some facts that are going on in the community. And I think it's going to actually help us a lot for the next legislative session's policy objective. So hopefully people tune into that. It should be fun.
Agreed, because certainly as folks are aware from the school side, they had done the McKibben report and the demographics with that. He was going to relook incorporating the 2020 census data, which now you've got, he'll have to incorporate because some of his projections may be based or adjusted according to that. And yeah, we already knew we were losing population. We have seen it year to year. But then that is all going to be a critical factor getting into, you know, how we reconsider that master plan of, you know, the school facility utilization. We've already closed there. Would one or other, another close or get renovated? All those discussions, that'll be this on the school committee's plate after the election. So yeah, more to come.
They, for sure. The adult population went up at a modest rate, way below the last four decades, much below the last four decades, but the under 18 plummeted. So it's a dynamic this town is going to have to rationalize with for all of those projects that you just mentioned and more as to how this happens. You know, it'll be interesting. It'll be the start of a longer conversation over the next 12 to 24 months about where we're going with master plans, housing, et cetera, et cetera.
Agreed. I think the devil's in the details. There still is growth. Yep. The rate is less. You know, and that just reinforces, we just need to make sure we have the right growth going forward to continue to fund what we need to.
Speaking of growth, I'm going to do the transition for once, Steve.
Wait a minute. What, you're changing roles?
you know, I'm psyched, talking really quickly before we get on, but, yesterday we did officially close on Maple Hill. Most people think in July, oh, they bought it, but you know, there's deeds that have got to get recorded. There's lawyers involved. There's paperwork. There's, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. Agreements that have to get settled and old contracts that have to get closed out and from the landowner, the developer, us. And ultimately I just signed over the authorization to pay out $4.59 million to Mr. Labasti. Congratulations to the Labasti family. From what people tell me, Mr. Labasti's father would have been very proud of this, from a long, long lineage in Franklin have consistently told me this. So I hope the legacy moves on. And speaking of growth, that parcel the council bought, we're going to be 58 homes.
Right.
Now, interestingly enough, I think it's going to be an interesting discussion point about why are we down 18 and under in town? And here's another way we just you know, solidified that policy trend over the last 10 years, right? Where there could have been a lot more under 18 year olds in those 58 homes, but with the limited amount of open space left at that size in town, obviously it was a huge priority and it was close to downtown for all the other reasons that were spoken. But it was pretty cool to finally get there and close. And that is the first time I've said that publicly.
A breaking story for those who tune in to Talk Franklin. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for one, sharing that. Two, for taking time from your day today to recap for the voters, residents, and listeners. And if you're new to this, come back. There's going to be more. Maybe not have breaking story every single time, but there's always good stuff. And thank you, Lily, as well for taking time today. And we'll catch up in another couple of weeks.
Sounds good, Steve. Thanks so much. And thanks everybody out there for listening. Have a great weekend.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.